Chapter 10, in which Kim Namjoon renovates a bar, ruins a man's life, and finally gets that collab. The plan is simple, because the puzzle is simple. Dangerous, to the point of being deadly, but simple nonetheless. Namjoon knows this game, and he knows the facade he needs to show. So, while Yoongi finishes stealing the equivalent of $80 million, he gets changed, finds his sunglasses, his proper sunglasses, the ones he always wears when he hits the scene, and slicks back his hair. "Hey," Taehyung says cheerfully, "it's been a while, Rapmon Hyung. So stylish." "Taeya, you know I'm still the same person when I'm not wearing sunglasses, right?" Namjoon checks, and Taehyung shakes his head, looking him over. Namjoon straightens up under his gaze, tugging at his shirt so it falls properly, and Taehyung smiles, looking a little wistful. "No, you're a very different person. I like you both, but you're far less touchable right now." Namjoon isn't sure how he's supposed to react to that, so he just frowns and puts it aside for now. There are enough things for him to worry about, without including Taehyung's words. He's not the only one dressed up, after all. Seokjin and Yoongi are in matching suits. Taehyung, Hoseok, and Jimin are in matching black as well, slacks and vests rather than suits. The separation between the two groups is important, Namjoon insists, and they go along with it, with only minimal complaining from Hoseok about sourcing 6 tailored suits in less than 3 hours. They tried putting Jungkook in a suit, too, but he looked like he was about 12, so instead he's in ripped jeans and a jersey, a fitted blazer over the top like he's at least trying to fit in. They're all dressed up and down like that, a careful combination of formal and streetwear that Namjoon picks to fit his image. Too well-presented for the street gangs, too modern and street for the old-fashioned groups. He's aiming to irritate everyone. "It's done," Yoongi says, putting his laptop aside. He's still sitting on the floor, but Hobie had insisted on making him sit on a cushion so he wouldn't get dust on his pants, and he wobbles slightly when he stands up. He's been working on Namjoon's projects for several hours, only interrupted by the delivery of the suits, and he had barely been paying attention to anything other than his computer, even when he was ostensibly not on it.
"And Namjoon, getting to do that? Or even for the hospital thing?"
"What about the internet cafe?" Namjoon asks, sticking his hands in his pockets and rocking back on his heels. Yoongi looks back at the screen, the torrent of text flowing past, as his worms do what they're designed to do.
"I'll let you know after we finish stage 2.
Namjoon can't help smiling, and offers Yoongi a hand up off the ground. "Hoseok-a, where are we?"
"I've got, 80% of what you asked for," Hoseok hums, looking up from a set of papers.
"Taehyung-yi is sourcing the last few things."
"I'm calling in a lot of favors, Hyung-yi," Taehyung says, covering the end of his phone and looking toward Namjoon. "I hope it's worth it."
"Ah, hello, Minho-hyung. Thank you for taking my call."
"Well, if it doesn't work, we're probably all dead," Jimin says helpfully. "So don't worry about it, Tae-tae."
Taehyung, who is now deep in his phone call, shoots Jimin a pout, but the blonde doesn't react, busy trying to figure out how far he can stretch in his suit pants without anything splitting. Seokjin is testing how many knives he can hide in a blazer, and Yoongi has ambled over to the kitchenette, where half a pan of kimchi fried rice is sitting on the hob. Turns out that Seokjin had been telling the truth about being a good cook. A great cook, even. And Namjoon, despite his nervous stomach, had still eaten more than his fair share of food, encouraged by Seokjin's smile. It's hard to think about the fact that everybody in this flat could be dead in less than 12 hours. And it all comes down to Namjoon and his ability to act. He paces a little, heavy boots loud on the tile, until Hoseok shoots him the stink eye. He takes a seat on the futon. "So, what do we do for the next few hours?" Seokjin asks, and Namjoon shrugs. It really is a waiting game at this point. He just has to make sure his own stupid brain doesn't throw him into a tailspin again. "Whatever you want to," Namjoon says. "As Jimin pointed out, these could be your last few hours. What do you want to do?" Jungkook clears his throat, and Namjoon looks up from where he's staring at his own hands, resting on his knees.
"Yeah, Kuka?
Do you really think we're going to die?"
"No," Namjoon answers immediately. "It's a good plan. It's going to work."
But
people like to think of the worst possible scenario, Namjoon shrugs, looking over at where Yoongi, their ace in the hole, is leaned over the stove like a goblin, eating fried rice fast enough that he's almost choking. "Which is death in this case. Hope for the best, prepare for the worst." Jungkook frowns.
"I trust you, though, Hyung. If you say we'll be fine, I believe it. There's a reason I came to you, you know. Back when I was deciding my next role."
Nobody really talks much after that, and they sit in tense but not uncomfortable silence, watching Yoongi scavenge, until Hoseok's phone rings.
"That'll be Jiho," he says, and then, a few minutes later,
"Everything's ready, Namjoon-a." Namjoon nods, and stands up slowly. "It's a simple puzzle. It's a simple solution. He can do this." "You all know your roles?" he confirms, and receives a chorus of nods and yeses.
"All right. Let's do this, huh?"
"I feel like now would be a good time for some kind of team shout-out," Taehyung says.
"If we had a cool team name, I mean."
"He's working on it," Jungkook says. "He's got other priorities right now."
Namjoon, who had opened his mouth to say exactly that, blinks.
"Thanks, Jungkook-gi. Anyway, I'm not going to get cheesy, but I would like to say that I am very glad to know all of you."
He looks over them, left to right. It's interesting. They're such different personalities, such different types of people, but they all fit together, and even Seokjin, who's only been involved for a couple of days, is now an important part of Namjoon. They're all there when he thinks about the future, even absently. He thinks about waking up next to Jimin, about Hoseok standing close to him on the train while they talk about puzzles, and Yoongi's silent companionship when they're both working, legs pressed against each other. Taehyung's confidence that Namjoon understands what he's saying, and Jungkook walking him home from work. Seokjin's disappointment when he looked at Namjoon's cupboards and realized they were 85% instant ramen. Strange how his opinion has changed so much in such a short time. First, it was convenient to have Hoseok around. Then, he was scared to try and leave. Now, he's more of the opinion that anyone who tries to make him leave is the one who should be scared. He doesn't say any of that, because he said he isn't going to be cheesy. But he makes eye contact, no sunglasses, and tries to impress that feeling on them. That he wants to be here. That he wants them here, too. Hoseok's mouth goes a little wobbly, and Namjoon smiles, putting his shades on.
"All right. Well, I've said enough. Let's go."
"Oh, God damn it! Stop being tough! Everyone get in here and give Juna a hug," Hoseok demands, practically flying across the floor to latch onto Namjoon's shirt. "We're happy to know you too, you giant dork."
"I'm
Your boss, don't talk to me like that, Namjoon says mildly, trying not to tear up as Hoseok squeezes him. He's never really been a skinship kind of guy, and his family isn't really one for constant hugging. He's never been touched as much as he has been the last few months. It's nice. You're our leader, Jimin corrects him, reaching onto his other side. And you are a giant dork.
It's okay, Taehyung says. We like you like this.
It's pretty cute, honestly, Yoongi agrees. I don't think I could imagine a boss in the fuzzy kitten sweater.
I'm still very interested in this fuzzy kitten sweater, Seokjin says. After we all don't die tonight, can we get a modeling session?
Is that what you want? Namjoon asks, slightly muffled by other bodies. I feel like maybe you all deserve something nice after tonight.
I want to go to the beach, Jimin says immediately.
I'm standing by the fuzzy kitten sweater, Seokjin says. And whatever other cute things I can dig up from the volcano you call a closet. He points at Namjoon's wardrobe, which is, admittedly, best described as violently erupting.
Breakfast in bed, Yoongi says dreamily. Cute pajamas. Cuddling. No interruptions. No explosions.
I want to take you shopping, Taehyung says, and Namjoon looks at him, slightly puzzled. As Seokjin just pointed out, he's hardly lacking in clothes. Because, Hyung, you're very handsome, and you dress like a homeless Ken doll sometimes. It really kills my vibe. Ooh, we could get couple shirts. Septuple shirts?
That's kind of rude, but if that's what you want, I guess, Namjoon says. To be fair, other than Yoongi, Taehyung is the one who has seen him dressed normally the most, back when he was just a regular customer at V's. And maybe, occasionally, Namjoon likes to try experimental looks, but he's not a bad dresser. Is he? He's pretty sure he isn't.
We're going dancing, Hoseok declares. At a real club, not a rap club.
A rap club is a real club, Namjoon tries to object, because he's not really that into traditional clubbing, but Hoseok narrows his eyes at him from about 2 inches away. At this distance, his stink eye is even more effective.
No, Hoseok says. A real club. You'll understand when we go.
I'll ask later, Jungkook says, when Namjoon looks at him. I don't really know what to ask for right now. That's clearly a lie, from the way Jungkook is chewing on his lip nervously, but Namjoon decides against pressing him. There's enough pressure on them right now. Jungkook can have his secret.
Okay, Namjoon nods. Now, let me go. We have a plan to put into action.
They hold on a little longer, because Namjoon has fallen in with a group who aren't just criminal, but contrary as well, and then proceed to pretend that Namjoon is the one slowing them down. It hurts his heart a little bit, how much he likes these idiots. He can't let them down now, and he says as much, over and over again, as Taehyung drives them to the cherry bar. When they walk in, Namjoon can't help but be impressed. Hoseok has done a hell of a job with 6 hours and a mobile phone. It's barely recognizable, and Namjoon has spent more time at Cherry in the last 6 months than he has at home. It's always been more on the dive bar end of the scummy to fancy spectrum that rap clubs sit on, with cheap red velvet curtains, a sticky floor, and neon lights that only half turn on, declaring it T-E-R-E rather than the Cherry Bar. The drinks are cheap and watered down,
and it has a sum total of 3 staff members now that the pink-haired bartender has gone backpacking across Vietnam to find himself. It's a shame, because he was the only member of staff who could actually mix a drink even slightly competently. Now, it looks like it could compete with somewhere like Massive, or even Debaka. The floor is shiny black tile. The walls are dressed in fresh, cherry-red wallpaper. Namjoon can still kind of smell the glue under the smells of the bar. And they've installed several black vinyl booths along the walls, lit with dim red lights that make it look like a fancy bar in downtown hell. There's a new bar, with new, expensive-looking liquor bottles on more red-lit shelves, and a fancy water feature on the wall behind it. There are large projected screens on the walls, showing smoky projections of red and black patterns. There's a DJ booth on the stage, set a little bit back and surrounded by artsy-looking patterned glass. It looks like the kind of place that would get described as slick and trendy in a magazine. Namjoon kind of likes it. It's a good look, sophisticated but not too fancy, but also kind of wants to declare gentrification and find a new place to rap. "Here's our table," Hoseok says, leading them across the floor to a booth that's more dais than table. It's 2 steps up, and lit sinisterly by lights on the underside of the table. Walking in is the first thing you see, and there's no avoiding it. "Perfect. How far off are our guests?" Namjoon asks, as Yoongi slips away with his laptop. Jimin, Jungkook, Seokjin, and Taehyung take seats at the table, arranging themselves to lounge arrogantly. "About 15, Hoseok says. "They're arriving now, but they'll get stalled a while longer at the door." The painting Namjoon had specified is hung on the wall opposite the door, so that when the guests enter, his back will be the first thing they see. Then, the painting. Then, the dangerous-looking young men arrayed around Namjoon like a pack of lions in well-tailored suits. Perfect. Namjoon sticks his hands in his pockets, lines himself up, and pretends to ponder the art in front of him. Hoseok stands next to him, half-turned to let him know when the door is open, and after a few minutes, he lets out a light cough. That's the signal. He stands up straight and takes a shallow breath. Go time. Min Minsu is not a man to be trifled with. He has spent a very long time becoming a man not to be trifled with, and he was less than amused when his right-hand man had come to him with the news that the King Key had finally turned up in the hands of a 2-bit gang leader in downtown Seoul. He was even less pleased when he had received a summons from the same 2-bit gang leader, a recent civilian, his right hand had informed him. Nevertheless, it is slightly entertaining to see his enemies, the closest thing he has to equals nowadays, Zhang Daewong, Wen Qitong, Morizawa Takishi, Zhang Sungho, even that pain-in-the-ass American, lining up outside a little basement club, stalled by a kid in a half-hearted suit. The kid has a pinstripe jacket on over a t-shirt and torn-up jeans, and he's chewing gum, completely unimpressed by the gathered gangsters. "We're here for a meeting," Minsu says, cutting past Wen, not caring that he knocks into the other man's shoulder. They've all come with a so-called assistant or two. Minsu recognizes a couple of very expensive contractors, a few right hands, even a hacker on the American side, and Minsu has brought his own right hand with him as well. There's a lot of money and influence standing on this pavement, and all it would take is an ambitious little idiot with a car to destroy a good amount of the influence in Seoul. "You have a meeting at 6:30, the teenager says, and he really is a teenager. He's younger than Minsu's youngest, and is looking at them all with the kind of cool disdain that comes naturally to all teens when faced with people over 25. He's chewing the gum at Minsu, too, and he wants to tell him to spit it out. And it's not 6:30. You're early. We're punctual, Minsu says, and snaps his fingers. His right hand, Youngchul, tries to push the kid out of the way, but he barely rocks on his heels. He may be young, but apparently he's stronger than he looks. He raises an eyebrow at Minsu, and an alarm goes off on his phone, tinny and irritating. Now you're punctual, he drawls, blowing a bubble of gum at them, and steps out of the way. It's a nice bar, at least. Fancy enough that Minsu wouldn't be disgusted to order a drink, the kind of place his lieutenants drink in. There's soft music playing, some hip-hop bullshit, with enough bass to feel in the soles of his shoes, but not too loud to talk over. The bar's pretty empty, no staff or civilians, except for the Boy Scout pretending he's a gang leader, standing in front of them. He can't see the kid's face, so he can't judge him properly, but there's an air to him that Minsu didn't expect. He stands powerfully, feet not quite shoulder-width apart, and he holds his shoulders straight, posture upright. He's looking at a painting, something brightly colored in red and purple, a man in a crown, staring down at the club. The King of Hearts, like the one off the playing cards, and the kid is staring at it, not even bothering to turn and look at his guests. The gold foil of the king's crown lines up with the top of his silvery hair, and for a moment, it looks like he's wearing a crown himself. Minsu blinks, and the illusion is gone. The redhead next to the civilian turns to look at them. He's in a white suit, a black shirt underneath that's open at the throat, like some casual James Bond shit, and smiles brightly. He excuses himself with a murmur, disappearing to the bar, and Minsu doesn't bother to follow his movements. If his boss is a civilian, a leech, then he must be something even more lowly. A snail, perhaps. I don't think you're wondering why I called you here, the kid says, still not turning around. His voice is deep, commanding, but Minsu isn't swayed. He's a dog playing at being a wolf. I think you know what you're doing here. He turns around, showing a blank face, eyes concealed by dark glasses. His hair is combed up, giving him a few extra centimeters that he doesn't really need, and he's wearing a big black fur coat over a smooth white button-up shirt and neat dark jeans. Minsu deals with enough young men to know that this is a kid who thinks he's dangerous. John Sung-ho probably thinks that he is, too. Sung-ho's a shitty little upstart, too, after all tattoos and gold chains. If he hadn't inherited his father's business, he would have died in a street fight years ago. You have the key, Dae Wong says, face just as blank. Which I think, you think, makes you dangerous. It doesn't, Minsu agrees. You're a child. I'm sorry, I don't even know your name. False politeness can burn more than outright hostility. That's a lesson Minsu learned a long time ago, but the kid doesn't even react, face still cold. I'm RM, the kid says. You wouldn't have heard of me. R.M., Minsu repeats. You're right. I wouldn't. Except that you have recently been making waves. You bankrupted the Seo, Jung, and Yun groups just today. How childish. They wanted to kill me, R.M. says, tilting his head to one side a little bit. I don't agree with that. You're a Boy Scout, Sung-ho scoffs. I could pull a gun right here and now and end this without all the useless talking.
pop a couple of shots, grab the king key, and head out to a real club.
RM sighs. I didn't think this would be quite so fast, but I appreciate your volunteering, John Sung-ho. He puts his hands behind his back, and raises his voice a little bit.
Sugar, Jong Sung-ho-shi has kindly volunteered.
There's some movement from the DJ booth, on stage. Another young man, this one with pale blue hair, wearing a crisp black suit and one of those caps that the teenagers think are fashionable these days.
Volunteering? Morizawa asks delicately, and RM nods.
As an object lesson. One of the screens on the wall suddenly displays a web page. Online banking, to be precise. There are transactions flying at the account, a balance quickly draining. A Facebook page pops up, with the faces of several young people who look like John Sung-ho. More bank accounts. Google Maps images of warehouses and businesses, being filtered through by a real expert. Minsu has several hackers on staff, but whoever that young man is, he's a genius. There's an art to the way he's combing through Sung-ho's life, pulling away all the money and power and transferring it into his boss's name.
You fucker!
Sung-ho's pulling a gun, hand wild as it points at RM. But before anyone else can react, there's another young man standing next to him. He's got sunny blonde hair and a delicate face, and Min Minsu swallows. Park Jimin has done some work for the Min group before. Minsu has even tried to convince him to join before, but he's fiercely independent. How on earth did RM get him on his side?
Manners, please, Junxi, RM says, and nobody misses the change in address.
John Sung-ho is no longer being addressed as an equal.
Why should he be, when RM has taken everything from him with a 30-second display?
Jiminshi, if you could see our guest out.
Of course, Hyung, Park Jimin says, a note of respect in his voice, and Minsu notices Wen pale.
He'd spent a long time courting Park Jimin, Minsu remembers. A long time, and a lot of money. And it had ended when Jimin had burnt down Wen's house and told him in no uncertain terms that he was done being polite and he didn't want to join his special boys' club.
Minsu gets the feeling that Wen is remembering that confrontation now, as Jimin turns Jung Sung-ho's arm up behind his back and marches him out of the club.
So, now that we have that out of the way, and you know that despite my reputation and past, I'm willing to fuck you up if you try to fuck with me, we can talk properly, can't we?
It's not a question. RM takes a seat at the head of the table, and Minsu recognizes the light-haired man sitting at his left as well.
What kind of man is RM to have Kim Seok-jin and Park Jimin sitting nicely at the same table in matching suits without even a catty word?
Minsu takes a seat as well, and the others follow his example.
So, what are your demands? Morizawa asks. RM takes a sip from a glass of amber liquid, provided to him by his red-headed right hand.
I don't have demands, RM says. I have rules. There are ways that things are done now that I am not impressed by. They're going to stop. There are things that you have tried to do that I'm not impressed by. They are going to stop as well. If you agree, you will walk out of my bar. You will go home. You will see your wives and kiss your children and know that you still have the means to provide a future for them.
And if we don't? The American asks, and RM says something in English that Minsu does not understand.
The American goes very pale under his tan and nods.
As I was saying, RM continues, the first rule is that you do not touch my things.
You have to know that we can't be seen simply taking direction, Zhong Dewang says, and RM raises an eyebrow.
He lifts a hand, opens his mouth.
Not to say that we can't. We definitely can take direction, but we can't just do whatever you say. We'll lose face.
I don't care, RM says coldly. You work for me now. You've worked for me since this morning.
Minsu bites his tongue. The King Key gives this child almost absolute power, even if he were as email handy as Minsu's 80-year-old father. With a good hacker, he's got all their balls in a vice, and from the look on his face, he knows it.
However, I know that you are old-fashioned men, he continues, and that you are upset because you think that I'm a civilian. What did that one call me, Hobie?
He called you a Boy Scout, RM, says the redhead, taking the glass back from his boss and setting it to the side.
Because I'm nice, right? He asks, and shakes his head.
I don't chop people's fingers off or throw them in the bay for betraying me.
That's weakness to you, isn't it?
RM looks almost pitying and taps his fingers on the glass tabletop.
I don't need to. My people don't betray me.
And people who threaten me?
Well,
Shoga?
The boy in the DJ booth gives a thumbs up, taking off his cap and ruffling up his hair.
Take 1/10 of their accumulated net wealth.
The screens flicker up again, and Minsu has to sit on his hands. He'll do something stupid otherwise, and he spent a very long time becoming a man that people do not consider stupid. The world has changed in the last 12 hours. The world changed the moment RM got involved, however it was that had happened.
I'll let our people know, Minsu says smoothly.
What's rule 2?
RM smiles. The negotiations, if they can be called that, go smoothly after that. RM says what he wants. Everyone agrees. Somebody does something stupid, and they all lose hundreds of millions of won with a single press of Suga's keyboard. Wen tries to shoot the hacker, and discovers that the glass around the DJ booth is bulletproof. Everyone else discovers that Wen has been laundering his money through a popular boba chain, and that his worth has just been halved. So, RM says what he wants, and everyone agrees. After an hour of this, he sits back in his seat.
We're done here. You can leave, he says, waving a hand imperiously, and they all stand up like students released by a teacher.
One question, RMG, Dewang asks.
Fine, RM says, turning his impassive face toward the older man. Minsu is going to have nightmares about that blank face, the bug-like black lenses, and the endless unrolling of his rules.
Ask. What should we call you? Are you still the thief?
I thought you had already decided that, RM says.
You've given me a lot of names lately.
They all freeze. There have been a lot of names regarding the new leader of the thief. Boy Scout. Monster. Bulletproof. Unkillable. Civilian. How are all those identities meant to fit one man? Even a man as cold as this one.
I am RM, and these are my Bangtan Sonyeondan, he says, spreading his arms to indicate the boys around him. My bulletproof Boy Scouts. I think you'll find that the name suits us quite well.
The message is clear. We do things my way. The civilized way.
and you can't stop me. Insu stands and bows politely, 90 degrees deep, in a way he hasn't since he turned 30.
Thank you for your time, RM Shi, he manages, and leaves quickly, his right hand at his side.
He sweated through his suit, and the balmy spring air is a relief on his skin.
What exactly happened there? Young Cho asks, looking dazed.
The South Korean underground is no longer a goddamn warring states kingdom. It's a fucking monarchy now, Minsu replies, and we just met the king.
Fuck, I need a cigarette.
He quit smoking 15 years ago, but his fingers are itching.
Are we going to do anything? Young Cho asks. He disrespected you.
We can't. If we keep our heads down and follow the rules, hopefully we'll never see him again, Minsu says.
But if we try anything, put out the word to everyone, and I mean everyone.
RM and his Bangtan Sonyeondan are untouchable. Listen to them like you would listen to me.
Yes, sir,
Young Chul nods, retreating and discreetly taking out his phone.
Fuck, Minsu says again, and kicks a discarded can.
35 years of climbing the ranks. 35 years of blood, sweat, and tears. And now he reports to an 18-year-old.
Fuck, fuck, fuck.
He waits for a couple of minutes after the last middle-aged man in a suit files out the door, and then Namjoon deflates onto the table, face down on the glass.
That was incredibly cool, Jimin says. Like, I'm kind of turned on level cool.
Same, Seokjin agrees, from Namjoon's other side.
You finally picked a name!
Jungkook sounds pleased, and Namjoon laughs a little. Up on stage, Yoongi is climbing out of the booth, laptop under one arm, and he quickly jumps down to join them at the table.
Hey, Juna, what do you want me to do with the money we just took?
He asks, and Namjoon shrugs, sitting up.
I don't know.
How much is it? Namjoon asks, pulling off his sunglasses and scrubbing a hand across his face. He drops the shades on the table, swapping them for a pair of regular glasses from his jacket pocket. Yoongi reads out the total. Hoseok drops the sunglasses he just picked up, and they skitter across the table, landing next to Jungkook's arm.
Buy me an island,
Taehyung demands, pulling at Namjoon's sleeve.
Buy me 2 islands.
I'm not buying any islands, Namjoon says.
Yoongi Hyung, can you split half across charity? UNICEF, Amnesty, that kind of thing?
Any preferences?
Yoongi asks, opening his laptop again, and pushing at Seokjin until he edges over enough to let Yoongi into the booth too. It's a few seconds of work to start sending ill-gotten millions to UNICEF, but he waits to check if there are any other charities Namjoon wants to pick out specifically.
I feel like we have enough to go round,
Namjoon says, and Hoseok passes him his glass again. It's just apple juice, because Namjoon doesn't drink before he performs, but it's served like whiskey, in a low glass with a few ice cubes. He drains the glass, dropping it on the table, and lets out another low sigh.
I want to go home now,
Namjoon admits. His heart is still pounding, and he feels shaky in his bones, half a step from a panic attack. They all slide out of the booth, and Namjoon stands on shaking legs, wobbling out from behind the table, and letting Jungkook hook an arm around his waist so he doesn't fall.
So, what do we do now?
You're basically invincible, Hoseok asks, as they file into the car, and Namjoon hums thoughtfully.
I mean, we've always got problems. I'll always have puzzles for you to solve, Namjoon-ah, but
What do you want to do?
Namjoon immediately turns towards Yoongi, who has very casually taken the seat next to him and has stealthily started holding his hand. His hand is large and cool, soft against Namjoon's, and he's absently playing with his phone with his off hand.
Yoongi-hyung, I know it's not really the time, but...
I've already sent you some blank beats, Yoongi says, sliding his phone away. Take a look and get back to me. You want a strong feature on your first mixtape, and I guess I can help.
He's interrupted by Namjoon throwing himself into his lap and kissing him. It's a good way to get interrupted, and Yoongi thinks about volunteering to produce Namjoon's whole album, if this is the reaction he's going to get.
Thank you,
Namjoon says, pulling back and staring at him with eyes that practically sparkle. 20 minutes ago, this man had frightened a career criminal into almost pissing himself, Yoongi can't help thinking. He's still dressed like he's out to intimidate the entire criminal underworld, and he's grinning like a kid on Christmas, sitting in Yoongi's lap and holding onto his lapels, like Yoongi's going to try and get away. He's really damn cute. Yoongi leans in and kisses him again. What a charming contradiction he's found. The line for the Cherry Bar has really grown the last 6 months. Where before, only real enthusiasts came out, even on prize nights, now there's a line that goes round not just one block, but trails onto a second as well. It has more than one bouncer now, and they actually stamp your hand on entry with a bright red pair of cherries, like something from a slot machine. There's a guest list, and people try and bribe the bouncers to get on it. This means that when Namjoon walks straight past the line and up to the door, wearing ripped-up denim shorts and a tank top that says, "I love Saipan" on it, his backpack slung over one shoulder, and the bouncer just wordlessly lifts the rope, there are a lot of complaints from the line. "He's not even wearing shoes," a random girl complains, and Namjoon looks down at his chunky sandals. "They're comfortable, and it's damn hot now, August in Seoul, so for once he's prioritized comfort over style." It doesn't matter how Namjoon dresses here, anyway. The club floor is busy, but he walks past that, too, to a door behind the bar. The bartender, the same pink-haired, broad-shouldered guy from last year, who had apparently not managed to find himself in Vietnam, nods to him as he passes, closes the door behind him as Namjoon heads upstairs to the VIP section. It's mostly empty now, at only 7 o'clock. Not many are allowed in, and fewer still are allowed past the second barrier, guarded by an eagle-eyed Jiho, who grins when he sees Namjoon, stepping out of the way. In the second section, the music is quieter, barely a background, and tall dividers keep them out of sight of the public. There are comfortable couches, a television, and a dumbwaiter connected to the bar downstairs. There are also 5 figures splayed over the couches, Jimin and Taehyung curled together, watching something on Taehyung's phone, while Jungkook sits on a cushion on the floor at their feet, writing in a book. There are a few pieces of scrap graph paper and a calculator on the coffee table in front of him, so Namjoon thinks he must be doing his maths homework. It had been a hell of a battle, convincing Jungkook to go back to school, but after an endless 2 weeks or so of arguing, he'd capitulated on the condition that Namjoon tutors him. If he spends a lot of those tutoring sessions blinking at Namjoon with wide eyes and demanding kisses after correct answers, well, that's between them. It gets results. Seokjin is reading a book, and Yoongi is doing something on his computer. Namjoon knows better than to ask what it is that he's doing, but it's probably exciting and very illegal. In the last few months, Namjoon has learned a lot about internet politics, and most of it seems to consist of always being online and active. If Yoongi isn't posting, isn't making viruses and talking shit at other hackers, he might as well be dead. Seokjin is the first one to notice his arrival, because Namjoon drops his bag on the table in front of him and falls into his lap. "Hey, Juna," he says, closing the book and setting it aside so he can loop his arms around Namjoon's waist. "How was university?"
"I learned some stuff," Namjoon says with a shrug, and Hoseok laughs from behind him, where he's collecting a tray from the dumbwaiter.
"That's why you were texting me, begging for something to distract you, right?"
Hoseok asks, leaning over Seokjin's shoulder to kiss Namjoon hello.
"What is this? Am I a chair? Why is Hoseok getting a kiss before me?"
Seokjin objects loudly.
"What is this disrespect? I'm your elder. Hey! Hey, stop kissing him. Kiss me."
He pokes Namjoon in the ribs until he squirms, and Hoseok breaks away.
"That's a sabotage effort, Jinhyung. You're getting a penalty for that later."
"A penalty? You line-jumped. I have a Juna in my lap. That means I get first attention. We agreed to this after the Spring Festival incident." Namjoon kisses Seokjin before he can get more worked up. As entertaining as his slightly squeaky tirades are, it's been a long day, and he kind of just wants to spend time with his boyfriends without a lecture. After a few moments, he pulls back, and Seokjin pouts at him.
"Don't think you're forgiven, either of you," he says darkly,
and Namjoon just grins at him.
"No, stop that. Don't be all cute and tanned and summery at me. I'm angry."
Despite his words, Seokjin's hands have crept under Namjoon's tank top to draw lazy circles along his ribs, and Namjoon wiggles a little, getting comfortable.
"Everyone's so absorbed, huh?" Namjoon ponders. "Guess they don't care about how my first day of classes was."
"I care," Hoseok says, darting over Seokjin's shoulder to kiss his cheek.
"Tell me all about your first day, baby."
Namjoon shivers, and Hoseok grins wickedly.
"We are at work," Namjoon says loudly, feeling his face heat. "We don't say that at work. We agreed."
"Right, right. Sorry. Tell me all about your first day, Juna. I'm listening." As Hoseok pulls back, he presses a kiss to Seokjin's cheek as well, before coming round to sit on the coffee table, facing them. Yoongi blinks, looking up from his laptop, and does a double take as he notices Namjoon.
"Juna, when did you get here?"
"About an hour ago," Seokjin says. "You missed out on all the hello kisses."
"Tragic."
"Don't worry, I kindly volunteered and took yours for you."
"Ash, for an old man, you're such a brat," Yoongi says, leaning over to swap Seokjin.
"No, I'm not. That's not true," Seokjin shakes his head.
"You're a child."
"No, I'm not."
"Well, you're childish."
"No, I'm not," Seokjin interrupts, and Yoongi rolls his eyes.
"So, I missed out on hello kisses," he says to Namjoon,
who shakes his head and slips out of Seokjin's lap, coming over to sit on the arm of Yoongi's chair.
"I only just got here, Hyung. He's teasing you."
"So, I didn't miss out on hello kisses,"
Yoongi says smugly, and pulls Namjoon down by the collar on his tank top, which is already starting to get stretched out. Yoongi still kisses so sweetly, gentle but persistent, and Namjoon can't help smiling into the kiss as Yoongi pets at his hair. It's a little longer than when they'd met in spring, and Yoongi's a little obsessed with the way it falls over Namjoon's forehead, the softness of the golden brown locks.
"How was your first day?"
Yoongi asks, when he finally pulls back.
"And also, did you actually go out in public wearing what you are right now?"
"Young, it's hot outside. Everyone's dressed like this except you."
It's true. Yoongi's cold hands apparently translate to being practically heat-proof, and he's still wearing long sleeves around, casually, in the midsummer heat.
"I'm just saying, you look very biteable," Yoongi says, and nips at Namjoon's collarbone. "You've probably been breaking hearts all day without even realizing."
"He's breaking my heart right now," Jungkook says from the floor, "by not helping me with these stupid calculus questions. This is so irrelevant to my life, Young. Why do I need this?"
"Because if you do all your homework and get at least 80% in all your subjects, Namjoon promised to finally let you do him. Now you finally had your birthday and it doesn't feel like a crime," Taehyung says, finally looking up from his phone.
"Oh, hey Namjoon Hyung. You look nice today." He tilts his head up automatically, and Namjoon leans over to kiss him. It's easy with Taehyung. It's always easy with Taehyung. He's free with his affection, and always has been, so far ahead of the rest of them that he'd already arranged their mutual emergency contacts when Namjoon was still trying to figure out if he needed to pick one out of them to date. Taehyung moving distracts Jimin from the puppy video they'd been watching, and when he notices Namjoon, his smile is heart-stoppingly beautiful. He's recently dyed his hair a kind of soft silvery brown, and it makes him look untouchable and striking, especially when pushed up and off his forehead, as it is right now.
"Young! Hey, why are you so far away? Where's my kiss? How was class?"
He reaches out with grabby hands, and Yoongi helpfully pushes Namjoon off his lap towards the other boy. Namjoon is so spoiled, he can't help but thinking, as he shuttles from Yoongi's lap to Jimin's, letting the smaller man pull him down into a bitey kiss that leaves his lips tingling and Jimin sucking a bruise onto his throat. To have this many people who care about him this much, he's so lucky. "Now, tell us about your first day," Seokjin prompts, once Jimin has decided that he's marked Namjoon appropriately, and nobody's going to get the heinously inaccurate idea that he isn't taken. "Not just the highlights. Tell us everything." Namjoon has a plan here. It's a very simple plan, but it'll get him what he wants. Most puzzles are the same, after all. You simply need to apply the correct reasoning to get the result you want. Namjoon wants attention. He sees the scenario fall into place and takes a deep breath. Well, the end. Reader's notes. This has been fun to record. It's taken me a very long time. I kind of originally intended to record it for like ITPE in 2021. I just finished ITPE 2023, so clearly that didn't happen. But I've loved this story for a long time. I lost this fic and couldn't find it for the life of me for like a year. And I would like occasionally think about it and get obsessed and just like search trying to find it. And then eventually I did, and I was so hyped, and I was also meeting like, oh, I need to podfic this because I am in love with it, and it has lived rent-free in my head for years. The Namjoon being so sexy and powerful, and like this last chapter with the like name reasoning of Bangtan Sonyeondan is so good, and I think about it a lot, and I'm really happy to have recorded this. I will record the porn epilogues at some point. Anyways, bye.